Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
So here we go, fourth and four.
It's a blitz.
Johnson.
The man in motion. Williams drifting, sprinting for space. In all kinds of trouble, put it up for grabs. The end zone. He got it! For the touchdown! They've done it again! Unbelievable! Huge extra point for the veteran Carlos Santos to tie the game at 17. Believe this team. They're down Chicago Bears.
I think I have seen it all. So we're going to get motion out here because they're going to want to get the one-on-one against the 6'5 tight end, against the 5'11 Kobe Durant on the outside, and simply throw one up. But it wasn't there in time, but I have never seen anything like that. In all my days, I have never seen anything like that. That was as blind a throw, just knowing where your guy was, give him a chance, and there are probably only two or three quarterbacks in the NFL that could have made that throw with the fadeaway jumper all the way into the end zone.
Unfortunately, your Chicago Bears have one of those quarterbacks. Shout out NBC for the highlight right there. Mike Tirico on the call. What a play. I was in the stadium. I was in Soldier Field when that play happened. And I'll tell you, when Cole Kmet caught the touchdown, I ran across the, not across, I ran around the entire 100 level concourse.
Were you cold?
No, I was drunk.
Well, okay.
I was drunk. Oh, I was warm.
I was asking because it was like one of the coldest days in Chicago during this winter.
No, I remember. I remember it vividly. And I was running around. And I ran around, when I ran around the 100 level concourse, it was because my emotions were too high. Like I needed to let it out. And I just thought, you know, I'm in my own world. So I'm just running around the 100 level concourse myself. But I quickly realized I was a vessel and a catalyst for even more energy for people when they saw me. Because I was like, let's go. And everybody's like high-fiving me as I'm running around because they realize that I'm just an idiot running around. excited about it.
One thing I remember so vividly about that game is that because it was so cold, so many people were wearing gloves or mittens and things like that. But the fact that you could just hear the clapping, just hear how loud it was still in that stadium because of that. And even though like that muffles, you know, the beat of the clap, it was just still so loud.
I mean, you even heard Bear Down Chicago Bears loudly over the call that we just played right there. And, you know, it just makes you think, you know, some people are going to feel very sad when and if the Chicago Bears leave Soldier Field and head to another location. And whether that be Arlington Heights, whether it's Indiana, Iowa, for that matter. I mean, the stadium situation it's so interesting, right? This is a storied stadium like Soldier Field. It's been around forever that the Bears didn't even leave 20 years ago. They decided to upgrade. And now here we are in the history of a franchise where you see teams across not just the NFL, but any major sports league where teams get new stadiums. And it's almost as though it's almost like Chicago is always on the outside looking in, right? The Bulls aren't getting a new stadium. The Cubs ain't going nowhere. The Bears have had their stadium for decades. And so you're like, the only new stadium is the Chicago Fire. And there's minimum, you know, I'm excited about it because I work for the team. But most people are just like, oh, yeah, that's cool. So here come the Bears wanting to get a new stadium. And that's why it's such a big deal. Make no mistake about it. I just gave you the landscape of Chicago teams and their respective stadiums. And so when you get a storied franchise like the Chicago Bears looking to find a new home, all eyes are going to be on the team and this decision. And that's what we've seen over the last couple of years, whether it's, you know, the initial investment in Arlington Heights back in 2023. If it's the pitting of downtown Chicago and the lakefront against Arlington Heights, or now the injection of Indiana, which was a call made by the Chicago Bears to, you know, execute their due diligence in finding the future home of their team. And that's where they're at in the present. But so many things have to go right in order for that to happen. And I think, you know, we as Bears fans, it's almost just so Chicago that, you know, you couldn't just say, we're getting a new stadium. Here's the money. 3 years later, bam, stadium. It's like red tape. Nah, do you like me? I don't know. I like you. Do you? I don't know. Do you like me? Circle yes or no. Like, you're playing all these games. And it's gotten us to the point that we're at right now. And, you know, again, curious of your thoughts, like where you're at with this whole Bear Stadium situation, because there is a level of fatigue where initially it seemed like fatigue, but then the anger crept in last week when the potential became very real that the Bears would go to Indiana. And I think now that we're a week removed from that, there's true, real fatigue on the whole thing. And I think the Bears did a good job of playing the PR game. Everyone's playing the PR game. J.B. Pritzker's playing the PR game, getting in front of microphones and putting a little pressure once he realized that public opinion was on his side with this whole thing. That he continues to say the Chicago, Illinois Bears, because he realizes that, you know, people that live in this state are very possessive of this team. And he is leveraging that emotion in order to get public opinion back on his side. So the Bears come out and say, hey, listen, the reason we haven't made a statement, because J.B. Pritzker said it, hey, get in front of a microphone. Somebody say something. Don't put out a statement. Get in front of a microphone. And the Bears came out, PR, you know, doing their PR thing. And they're like, hey, we haven't put out a statement because we don't want to make anybody feel icky. And we're working with both sides and we want to make sure that, you know, we don't ruin any momentum that we might have. It's just, it's a game. But I think we're all excited at the idea of a new stadium, of the idea to be able to watch your Chicago Bears in a state-of-the-art facility, one that can compete with some of the best in the world. And you have the luxury of creating your stadium after some of the best ones have been built already, so you can take best practices. And that includes those in Minnesota, those out in L.A., and I say Minnesota because that's where Kevin Warren was obviously attached to. But these other stadiums that you've been able to go to and really, you know, create something that's going to be unique for the fan base. And that is what got people excited in the beginning. A new game day experience and a team that was going to be able to, because, I mean, listen, even though it's not our team, we love the McCaskies. We want them to have some money. Like, all right, yeah, build your team up. I get it. You know, we want you to be wealthy, like, because some sick way we feel like it's our team too. Like, I get that. And so we were okay with the stadium. What we're not okay is the drama that's surrounding it. And I think that's where we're at right now. So the phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Curious where you're at on this whole Bear Stadium saga. Has it become fatigue, or are you, you know, sitting at the, you know, Springfield doorstep letting everybody know they better do something about it to keep the Bears in Illinois? Also taking your calls on USA Hockey. Definitely want to know what's going on there. But to get a little bit more information on what has been going on with the stadium situation, you know, what the Bears are doing on both sides, why the Bears canceled the meeting, and if, in fact, the deal in Indiana is better than the deal in Illinois. Well, Mark Gannis, who is, of course, our sports business expert that we have on often here on 670 The Score. He was on with David Hall and Ruthie Polinsky, my counterparts on the Chicago lead on CHSN, which, by the way, the three of us today, 6 o'clock, you can catch us on the show today. Mark had the wonderful pleasure of speaking with David Hall and Ruthie Polinsky about the situation. And I want you guys to listen to this because it's a deep dive on the stadium situation. And maybe at the end of it, you'll come out with some differ of opinion on the other side. So check it out. Mark Gannis with David Hall and Ruthie Polinsky right here on 104.3 The Score.
Mark Gannis is the founder of SportsCore and a sports business expert. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, David. Doing very well.
Thank you. Busy day on Thursday. I'm sure you took it all in. Just let's start here. What did all of the developments yesterday do to the chances of the Bears building a stadium in Arlington Heights?
So I'm going to be a contrarian, David. I think it enhanced the chances. And the reason why is if that was not yesterday, should have been a massive wake up call for the legislators in Springfield. Stop playing around. Stop 3 years of, oh, it's not a priority. You have to focus on Chicago. Oh, Howard Street is actually the demilitarized zone and it's good South Korea versus bad North suburbs. All of that needs to be in the past. And if they don't wake up from that, then they will go to Indiana. But I do not think they will stay asleep. I think Governor Pritzker is on top of this now. Over the last few weeks, since around Christmas, I've started seeing the kind of machinations in Springfield that typically leads to a deal getting done. It's been recent. Unfortunately, they should have done this a long time ago, but it's not too late. And I do believe that it will turn out to be the wake-up call. Now, if they don't wake up, Hammond, Indiana is where they're going, but I do believe they will wake up.
Mark, I'm curious to get your take on the negotiations and the tone that it seemed to have turned to yesterday. It just didn't feel like the Bears, it sort of feels like the Bears are playing both sides of this. And I'm just curious what you think the tone of Governor Pritzker yesterday, if that took a turn, and do you think that the Bears are doing this negotiation in good faith?
Well, first, they are doing both sides. They have to. Mm-hmm. They don't have a choice. They have not been given us a deal in Illinois yet, so they have to be negotiating with both. They'd be fools if they weren't doing exactly that. But you can do both and still be doing it in good faith, which I do believe they are doing. But they have, there has not been a deal. Look, the Bears have not asked for money to help build the stadium in Arlington Heights. Mm-hmm. They bought the land themselves. So they haven't even asked for land. They've asked for two things: property tax certainty and infrastructure. It turns out the infrastructure is the thing that Governor Pritzker said he would do, including substantial infrastructure. Seems to be close. That should get a deal done. And the Arlington Heights taxing bodies seem to be on board about the property tax certainty. So the question to be asked is, why did this take so long? Okay, maybe that's a question we'll ask afterwards. And the next question is, are we going to get everybody in a room to finish this deal?
Both are fair questions. I think the first one more pressing than the second one, although the second one, they could have had both sides in both parties in the same room at the same time, Mark. On Wednesday, according to Governor Pritzker, he was dismayed that after 3 hours of what he considered progress, the Bears canceled the hearing for Thursday morning. He also, not, I think, accidentally, rather intentionally, mentioned that Kevin Warren was not present for those negotiations. How does this jive with what happened on Thursday? Is one thing related to the other? Why would you make progress on Wednesday and cancel a hearing on Thursday? Is it all part of the grander plan of negotiation?
No, I don't believe it is. But I'll give you a reason why I think it occurred. That they did have a good meeting on Wednesday, but that meeting ended rather late, and they needed to go back to the lawyers and see about the language and the legislation, the language and the commitments for the infrastructure, and that wasn't ready, and they weren't ready to put that bill on the floor without those things being done. A day or two delay to getting that done, I mean, considering what's the non-action over the last 3 years, shouldn't be a big deal. Now, the other point here is why make such a positive statement about Indiana? The reason is simple. You have the legislators and a governor who are way out there. You don't leave them out there hanging on their own. They're doing the work to help the Bears get a new stadium. So you've got to make some positive statements about the work that Indiana is doing. And frankly, I think they deserve a lot of praise for everything they've done so far. So that's the way I view the statement that the Bears made. And let's also remember, Governor Pritzker is a politician. Everything that he says has to be taken in the context of how it impacts public perception and the perception of him running for re-election, potentially running for president. So his statements were completely understandable. The Bears not being wanting to have more time on the bill language makes a lot of sense, and the Bears' public statement about what Indiana did also makes sense. This could all still get done, folks. It's just everybody needs to use this as a wake-up call and not just get angry about it.
It all could still get done, and I think people are angry, Mark, because of how the sequence of events. The news on Wednesday that the Bears had a productive meeting over 3 hours with Illinois, and then on Thursday morning, the announcement and the unanimous approval of the Northwest Indiana Stadium Authority to do the due diligence now to move forward. And I do think this, and I wonder what you think. The statement the Bears released about pivoting to Indiana was viewed, based on my reporting on the Indiana side, as maybe not showing enough love or not being as positive as maybe Indiana officials were about this, and that struck them in the wrong way.
Yeah, I can understand that, because what the statement did not say is we're moving to Indiana or we're moving to Indiana subject to due diligence. It didn't say that. And that's so I can understand why some of the people in Indiana may be saying it. But it is each party, all three parties are moving forward. And you know, just because you had a 3-hour meeting that's positive doesn't mean everything is done. The inference from Pritzker is everything was done and the Bears just pulled it off the table at the last minute. I don't believe that is what happened. I believe it needed more work before a bill could be submitted. But all of this is going to be happening over the next 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to get resolution on this in a very short period of time.
Mark, you brought up the term due diligence, and that was something that struck me yesterday when we heard from Governor Braun. And I'm just curious sort of what that means from your perspective. What are the steps that still need to be taken from the Indiana Stadium perspective?
Well, just on the site alone, you have a tremendous amount of work that has to be done to make sure the site can handle a stadium, traffic, asphalt, other kinds of infrastructure and additional ancillary development. I'm understand the Bears have done some site analysis, but these things take time. You have to do level 1, level 2, and potentially level 3 environmental analyses. All these things, by the way, that they did at Arlington Park. They did that some before and then some after they closed on the deal to buy the land for $200 million. These are normal steps that have to be taken before a deal can be finalized.
When you look at the terms of the Indiana deal, the selling of the bonds, the way that it is structured in terms of the Bears still contributing $2 billion and then the rest being subsidized. What is your assessment of how good of a deal that is for the Bears? How good of a deal that may or may not be for the state of Indiana and taxpayers there? What is your assessment of the overall offer?
If the deal that is being offered by Indiana, if they were side by side versus what the Bears have asked for with the state of Illinois and Arlington Heights, the deal in Indiana is a meaningfully better deal for the Bears. That being said, and by the way, Suter always has to offer a better deal, mm-hmm. always, in sports and, frankly, in life. So we've all been there. So that is not a surprise. But the McCaskey family in particular is, I think, showing a lot of loyalty to their existing season ticket holders and fans that are primarily in the city and the north and northwest suburbs. This is the site. Hey, they bought the land for $200 million because this is where they want to be, in Arlington Heights. It was only because they only got waylaid because of the property tax issues and then the craziness of Chicago legislators saying it's Chicago or bust, the rest of Cook County doesn't exist. That's the only reason that we're still here and have all this uncertainty. And that's the opening that Indiana was given by the state politicians in Illinois. But let's be clear, even though it is probably or certainly a lesser deal for the Bears side by side, they've already made clear they want to be in Arlington Heights. They just need the 2 or 3 things that they've asked the state for and the local legislators for.
So, Mark, how do you address the contention, and it's more than a contention, there's more than $500 million of debt still to be paid off for Soldier Field renovations, and Governor Pritzker has brought this up as a potential condition that has to be met before they move forward there. Where does that stand, and whose burden is that?
anybody who brings that up, I don't care if he's the governor of a state, the mayor of a city, or anybody in the street, is not being serious about getting a deal done. That was one of the dumbest things that anybody could have brought up if they actually wanted to get a deal done. It was stupid when it was said. It's stupid today. Those bonds were never the obligation of the Bears. The Bears have a signed lease. Everybody can see it. It's a public document. And so whenever that was brought up, by whomever it was brought up, that told me that party was not serious about getting a deal done.
It was almost brought up, I think, in the context of the Bears. It's almost like a Arlington Heights tax. It's like, this is what you have to pay to leave the city. This is going to be essentially the $534 million toll. Because
That's right. You've got it right. And that's why when I say that the politicians were not serious, that's the kind of thing politicians who aren't serious about doing a deal, that's the kind of thing they raise. Listen, do you remember in the fall veto session, people were bringing up that the Bears should pay for the shortfall in the CTA, in mass transit. I mean, it was idiotic what they were doing and saying, because they thought the Bears had no options. Well, guess what, Springfield? The Bears have an option.
What would you say to people, Mark, who are mad at the Bears for various reasons, right? People are mad about them potentially leaving the state of Illinois. Some people are mad that they're dragging them on this emotional roller coaster and that this has taken too long. What's your message to them about just the process and what it's going to take?
Relax and enjoy Caleb Williams and this incredible Bears team, because I'm telling you, this, we think the last season was exciting. This next season is going to be even more so. This is going to be the team of the NFL this coming year. I'm telling you, they are going to be the marquee franchise. They're going to see them on national telecasts. They're going to get a lot of attention, and this is going to be Caleb Williams coming out as perhaps the next face of the National Football League.
Mark, I don't disagree with that. You're exactly right about the Bears. You're exactly right about Caleb Williams. I think that's why some people look at yesterday. It's like, you just went through this magical season. You just went through all of these things about the future to be happy about. Bears fans, I think there's a segment of them that feel a little betrayed. Like, why are you toying with our emotions this way? Why are you doing this in terms of issuing a statement? And Mark, I'm going to, next week in Indianapolis, the session in Indianapolis ends on Friday. The sense is that there could be a more ceremony, pomp and circumstance if they sign this and the governor has a photo op. Kevin Warren's going to be there. If you're advising the Bears, would you worry about the optics of Kevin Warren shaking hands with Mike Braun in Indianapolis next week when all of this stuff about the great future of the Bears and what that's momentum that gets stalled every time that you smile in front of the cameras with a governor from the other state?
No, I don't think that's what happens. First, if the state of Illinois does not step up in the next week or two, then we have some other issues to discuss. But no, I don't think that's a problem, because Hammond, Indiana, is a suburb of Chicago. It's 20 miles from Soldier Field. The team isn't leaving. This isn't like the Houston Oilers going to Tennessee or the Cleveland Browns going to Baltimore. This is going to the suburbs. Look, as I just mentioned, the Cleveland Browns, the backfield Cleveland Browns are moving to a suburb outside of Cleveland right now.
Right.
That's all this is. Now, the fact that it's over state lines is, you know, it should not matter to most of the Bears fans. There may be some that are in the northern suburbs that it'll affect, because they may not be able to go to as many games or any games starting in 2030 or 31, because it may be too far. But for the people who are downtown, it's still 20 miles away. It's not that far. So it still stays the Chicago Bears. The team is always going to be on TV. And in some ways, they get a little even closer to, you know, some roots in Bridgeport and places like that. So this just shouldn't be that big of a deal. It just crossing that state line has an impact on politics. It has an impact on taxation. It does not have an impact on Bears fans.
Mark, always appreciate your insight and certainly being generous with your time. Thanks so much. We look forward to talking the next time.
Thank you, Mark.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Mark Gannis right there with David Hall, Rudy Polinsky. It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Again, when people talk about these things as a Chicagoan, it just throws me off. Like, for him, the last statement he just made was, you know, for the people downtown, it's only 20 minutes. People downtown? You know how many people live in downtown Chicago? 200,000 people. There's 9 million people in the Chicagoland area. You think anyone cares about the 200? You think anyone cares about anybody that lives in the South Loop and in downtown in these expensive-ass buildings? No. Or any inconvenience? No. It's no bearing on them. It's everybody else across the Chicagoland area that it is affecting. Curious your thoughts on everything that Mark said on the stadium situation, where you're at with it. And then, of course, I would like to talk about the combine, obviously starting tomorrow or today, Monday, Bears got the 25th pick in the draft. I'm curious, in your mind, when you're thinking about the 25th, obviously it has to be used on a premium position. If you had to pick one, do you think that 25th pick should be used on protecting Caleb or hunting quarterbacks? Protecting quarterbacks or hunting quarterbacks? What are you trying to do with that 25th pick? And, of course, phone calls on the stadium as well. And then if you're so inclined and want to talk some USA Hockey, we'll do that also. 312-644-6767. Going to take your phone calls on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 104.3 The Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
There's Vince Barter. Take a look. Arner looks for Taves on the backside. Wow. That puck's going in. He got the paddle, Boosh.
Wow. Incredible.
Devin Taves, I'm sure he's watching that replay back and thinking, if I just got the stick on it sooner, might have been able to get that goal. But of course, Connor Hellebuck from the Winnipeg Jets made the phenomenal save, leading to the victory for Team USA, 2-1 over Canada. And what a day it was. Canada controlled long stretches, that we know, generated value. I feel like that was going into it, that was the notion that the offense of Team Canada versus the defense of Team USA. I mean, USA was outshot 42-28, right? But it's about the makeup of the team, the structure holding, bodies boxing out, being aggressive, getting in front of shots. And then, of course, the goaltending, world class. Connor Hellebuck, 41 of 42 shots saved. And then, of course, the USA penalty kill. Talk about the defensive team USA. I'll play a clip from Frank Serafali in just a little bit, talking about the squads. But let's go out to the phone lines. I know a lot of people impacted by this one. Right, those of you that were able to see the Miracle on Ice, Team USA beating the Soviets, then beating Finland to get the gold medal, and then now another juggernaut, Team Canada. Right, it's supposed to take this one down. Team USA stepping up to the plate and getting things done. But we got a lot of hockey fans. It's a hockey town still. If you saw this Michigan Avenue during the years of Blackhawks greatness in the 2010s, you know that this town definitely loves their hockey. So let's go out to the phone lines, take some phone calls. 312-644-6767. We got Kyle out in Chicago. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gabe. Thanks for taking my call. What a day for the USA.
I know. Tell me about it. So, I mean, as you were watching this and seeing how this thing played out, I mean, what were your initial thoughts?
I thought they had no chance about midway through the second period. Fair, Canada just started dominating. But I was watching it with my 9-year-old who ended up body checking me when Jack Hughes ended up scoring.
As he should have. As he should have.
So immediately, so I go to 5 to 10 Hawks games a year. I'm not an average hockey fan. I'd say a little bit more than an average hockey fan. The minute that game ended, I bought tickets to go see Minnesota on St. Patrick's Day and go see Quinn Hughes and Matt Boldy.
Matt Boldy, yeah.
And then I got tickets for March 31st. Hellebuck's in town when Winnipeg comes back. And I'm wondering if you think, like me as a hockey fan, I want to go see these guys now. They're coming to our city. They're coming to play the Hawks. Do you think this is going to have a big impact on the NHL? Do you think ratings are going to go up? Do you think people are going to want to go see these guys that just won a gold medal?
I think it'll be an immediate impact. And you see it. You see it in the World Cup, Kyle. You see it, you know, when soccer plays and Team USA is out there, there's a trickle-down effect where you might be watching respective players and their respective teams. And you're seeing it in real time with you, right? Think about it. It's one thing to watch the young stars on the Blackhawks, whether you're talking about Bedard, Table Teravainen. Obviously, there's tons, Ryan Donato, like guys that you want to go see. But at the same time, when your team is not competing for championships, then you want to watch other players, right? And that's the beauty of other sports like the NBA. You still want to watch, you know, Steph Curry. In the NFL, you might want to watch Patrick Mahomes. Well, you know, for the casual individual, right, he might not know outside of, you know, the Crosbys and such and McDavids who they want to watch. But now you got a whole roster full of guys, gold medal winners, mm-hmm. that you want to see. So I think absolutely you are, you know, whether you're doing it intentionally or it's happenstance where you end up at the stadium and you're like, oh, my God, that's the guy who won the gold medal. So I think what you'll see, Kyle, is these players getting ovations at any stadium that they're at, mm-hmm. because they ended up bringing home the gold for the United States.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's incredible that the United States goalie plays for a Canadian team and the right. Canadian goalie plays for a U.S. team.
Yeah.
But I couldn't agree more. I'm going to cheer my butt off for Hellebuck when he comes here to play at the end of March. Like, this is great.
Talk to me about, I mean, were you around during the Miracle on Ice, and what memories do you have from that?
I was 3 years old, so I don't have
okay.
much.
Okay.
But I do very well remember 2010, the Crosby overtime goal, being a Hawks fan, you know, with Kane against Taves and Keith and all those guys. And this is incredible. My son's not a hockey player, but he loves hockey. And this is like, these guys are heroes to him as a 9-year-old.
What did he love the most about it? I mean, take me into your house while you guys are watching these games. Where did the excitement stem from? What got him out of his seats?
Honestly, it was when Jack Hughes got hit in the face with the puck and he lost his tooth. Right? He's like, oh,
it's
man,
badass.
He's going to come back in the game. He lost a tooth. This is unbelievable. But yeah, no, we've been watching every game, and he's starting to know these guys. And today was just one of those. He'll remember where he was when they did this
yeah.
kind of moment.
Who knows? He might be talking about it in 20 years right here on the Score, that he was watching it with his dad and that he cross-checked him at the very end. You know, that could be, what he's saying. Hey, Kyle, thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in, man. Have a great night.
Take care, man. Thanks for taking the call.
Always. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. Going to be going all the way up to 5 o'clock. And then that's when Dustin Rhodes takes over, the one and only Dustin Rhodes. And then today, Mully Salout, David Hall is going to be paired up with Zach Zaidman today, the one and only Zach Zaidman, who obviously had a couple calls this weekend with the Chicago Cubs. So you get a chance to hear his update on what the team is looking like. Again, David Hall, Zach Zaidman coming up right after Dustin Rhodes does the pregame show. But right now, it's you. More phone calls right now, 312-644-6767. We got Ryan out in Oak Forest. Ryan in Oak Forest, are you a night owl?
Maybe I'll come around to that soon, but from now on, what, when, why, where, how?
Tell me more, Ryan.
So on third Friday, I made a point about how this move would to Indiana would really dampen both the hometown fans' experience and the traveling fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've talked about how the hometown fans would be all the time, but I want to review my thing about the tourists, because I'm certain I'm going to be moving to Texas by next year, right?
Okay. I hope you're still calling in, Ryan. Hopefully you're still calling in.
Using Odyssey, yes, sir. I'll be Ryan from Fort Worth, right?
Okay.
You go to a Bears game, you could do some Chicago stuff before and or after. And so let's say that I meet a girl who's a Cowboys fan, right?
Hey, Ryan, do me a favor. Sounds like you're blocking your speaker or your microphone, sorry, that you're talking into.
Oh.
There you go.
Is it any better now?
Yeah, much better. All right. I like to hear what you're saying, Ryan. That's why.
So let's say I meet a girl who's a Cowboys fan, which is, you know, kind of a turnoff, but like, I'll live. So,
and likely,
Cowboys,
by the way.
The Cowboys go on the road to play the Bears. And I'd definitely be coming back home to Chicago to relive everything, see old friends and family. But what's the point? If I got to go to Indiana for the game, then make the trek to Chicago,
seems small, and I know teams like New York, San Francisco, Dallas themselves, and soon the Chiefs do this, but like it's very annoying to even think about, you know?
Yeah, that's extremely annoying to think that you're going to be, you know, you finally get an opportunity to come back home, and 40% of your time here is spent traveling to and fro Indiana.
It's a tough drive, yeah.
And even more importantly, why are you dating a Cowboys fan? Why would you want? You got to get that off the list, Ryan. You got to get that off the list. Don't put that badness out there. You don't want that.
I think maybe things might be better. Might work out in Texas. I just have a feeling, but yeah, I might have to make that compromise.
Fair enough. Tell me what's your biggest. So obviously, we know that distance from the city, and obviously, you coming back is a gripe of yours. What else do you think when you're thinking about, you know, the team and the fan base? What else do you think is the biggest gripe Chicagoans or Chicagoland area people have with it going to Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing kind of seems like they're just really ignoring, like the fan, like they're telling the fans to kick rocks in the name of money. And I know I sound kind of meatballish when I say that, but it's just like it sounds good on paper, like the numbers. Maybe, you know, maybe the bottom line, but I mean, you know, that's going to catch up if fans don't go to as many games, or if it just becomes like all road team fans too, like
Vegas or SoFi. Yeah, I see. Like Arizona, yeah. I see that too. It's such a tricky situation when it comes to it, because I know there's going to be some initial pushback. I think the fan base that people aren't. And I know why we're not caring about them, but the assumption is that, you know, the only people that go to Bears games are these like blue collar, hardworking individuals. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Granted, Chicago's a blue collar town, but with prices the way that they are, the majority of the people when the Bears are good that are heading to these games are the affluent Chicagoans, right? So people dismiss them far too often. They're just like, oh, like think about, you know, those that sit in the suites, those that pay this excess money, are those people, and we know who those are, Ryan, are those people going to want to kick it in Hammond, Indiana after the game, right? Or are they taking their limos back to the city to have a steak at Chicago Cut? You know, that's what people are forgetting about, that there's a large contingent of people that are wealthy that go to these games. And not to say that, you know, Hammond won't be able to build a district, but is that going to be, you know, something that's going to draw them there to the game? I don't know if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, we can all do better, like high class, lower class. I go back to the Joakim Noah thing, like what's so cool about Indiana? I never heard anyone say
that's so funny.
They're going on vacation to Indiana,
unless they're going to the Indiana Dunes. Do you remember, Ryan, the commercial for Indiana Dunes? Like, there's more than corn in Indiana. Like, I remember that as a kid growing up, and I'm just like, here we are. There's more than corn, and it might be the Bears. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the Indy 500, too. But, I mean, they got the Colts. I mean, I think Colts own all of Indy.
Yeah. I love that stadium, too.
They're not going to
compare
anyone.
Yeah, but they're just, I mean, it's like two different. Like people say from Indiana that live in the East, you know, in the East Chicago, Portage, Hammond, all that whole area of the region, they themselves would say they're different than Indianapolis, right? In terms of, granted, you share state lines, but I think the culture of people is just a little bit different. I don't know. Maybe somebody from Indiana could tell me that if they identify with people in Indianapolis. Because I'm thinking like Chicago. Like, do we identify with people in Kankakee or in Carbondale or, you know, any of this at Rockford? I don't know if we're this. I don't know if we're cut the same from the same cloth. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know, I'll be saying I'm from Chicago, but I'm like way down south of it. I think it's actually a thing of like, if you're just somewhere in sniffing distance of Chicago, I mean, you could be in Peoria, and you might be telling people you're from Chicago. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I think you might have to. Hey, Ryan, I appreciate the call as always. Look forward to talking to you again a little later in the week. All right.
Yep. Thanks. See you soon.
312-644-6767. That is the phone number. Lines are open. We got Grant Leader handling producing duties today. Did a great job. Can't wait for you guys to hear the intro. 4 o'clock. We'll do that again. But in the meantime, he's been out there chopping it up with his little Ginsu knife, making sure that all the cuts are ready for you guys to go. I'm trying to redo what where I'm at with this Bear Stadium situation. And I feel like, you know, it's ultimately what I want. Oh, wow. Do I got to do this right now? 148. Wow.
I mean, when do we rarely get a chance to break some news?
Rarely.
At this time of night.
Where's my breaking news liner at?
It should be up there.
No, it's not. I wish it was. But breaking news on the Score. Oh, hold on one second. Let me get this piece of paper.
As Gabe ruffles around trying to find the reader.
Yeah, it's not. It's not here either. All right. Who can I give a random shout out to that I can say my breaking news is brought to you by somebody?
I think we do Wildfire for breaking news. All right,
shout out to Wildfire. Breaking news on the Score brought to you by Wildfire. Make sure you check them out. One of the better restaurants in the Chicagoland area. But according to John Heyman, Michael Conforto to the Cubs. Look at that. Michael Conforto, you've been wondering what else is going to happen. And here you are, Chicago Cubs, getting another piece. They're trying to make their way. Michael Conforto, of course, last year with the Dodgers, batted a whopping 199.
It's just a spring training deal.
Just going in, man. Just going in. Why did I have to do that from the very beginning? Just adding a depth piece. I mean, obviously, the Astros are showing interest in him. The Cubs come along, pick them up. I mean, they're going to need when they saw Seiya Suzuki in center field, they thought to themselves, we're going to need some help.
Hey, he just asked the sun to move a little bit, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Just get on over there a little bit. Michael Conforto, been in the league big since 2015. First several seasons with the New York Mets, then played the last couple with the Giants, then last year with the Dodgers. You know, he's had homers, not in the 20s, only 1 year of 20 homers in his last five or six. He did have the big year in 2019 when he hit 33. That was huge. But last year, yeah, he batted 199. Solid.
Solid. Just below Mendoza line.
Just below it, you know. Career 245 hitter. OBP career 345. I mean, it's another body, is what you'll say. I got it. Wow, this is a tough one. Somebody on Twitter said he hasn't been good in like 5 years. Is this really worth you not sleeping for?
I mean, it's breaking news. Score covers the Cubs.
I'm here for it. No, don't I'm get me wrong. It, yeah. Listen. It's 2 a.m. and we get breaking news. I love this. I'm here for any additions. I wonder what it means in the grand scheme of things for the Chicago Cubs. Like, will he make the opening of the roster? I don't know.
I don't know. He's definitely a piece. They're definitely going to use him when, like, Seiya and Bregman, PCA all leave for the World Baseball Classic.
Right. And that's exactly what that is, right? Just getting more bodies in the air. Oh, my gosh. The Cubs. I mean, you're making marginal moves within the lines. That's where you got to win. And a one like this, the assumption is that you want a professional there. Instead of having to depend on some wily utility man, you get to pay, you know, a little bit on this end. Again, John Heyman, reporting that Michael Conforto to the Cubs. Another outfield, another platoon. How you feeling, Cubs fans? This move the needle for you? Why? I shouldn't be doing that. I should not be chuckling like that.
Why? I mean, it's an okay piece, you know? It's a Mike Tauchman type of move, yes, if he can work out, for sure, the Cubs.
I mean, but you have to have those. There has to be moves like that. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the outfield depth in the present. And what are you...
It's not there. It's Seiya, it's Ian Happ, and it's PCA. And then if they call up Alcantara, they can do that. But
Cubs fans, I want to hear from you. Obviously, if you're out there and you hear this edition, I'm curious what your initial thoughts are. 312-644-6767. Michael Conforto coming on over to the Chicago Cubs. Of course, John Heyman just announcing it right now. And when you're thinking about the impact, right, that it can be... And here's what it really means, right? We know it's a buy low deal. We know it's a prove it move. Conforto's last big season didn't necessarily go great, so it reads as the Cubs saying, give us a veteran bat with potential upside and maybe we could fix it. Maybe being in a lineup of, you know, good players can get you there. It also signals that the Cubs, you know, wanted that lefty balance. You know, getting another bat out there, batting lefty, throws righty, but that getting that other lefty bat out there makes a difference. And then you just want insurance in the corners of the outfield. Happer goes down, what you going to do? You got PCA shoring up the middle, but what does that mean for you? So, again, I think, you know, we talked about this with the Chicago Bears, that you find yourselves in a position when you're good that you're able to stockpile veteran talent with high upside. And that's what the Cubs are doing here with their playoff run. You know, an injury in an outfield messes something. You get some kind of cold stretch. You just need somebody to step in. You get a platoon, again, where you got a lefty in there.
Well, that's so, also why they're working out Shaw in right field as well this spring.
Well, it just lets you know how that's going.
I mean, he's doing okay. He's played in the outfield. He said he played growing up.
In high school, he said.
Yeah, but like...
It's Major League Baseball.
I mean, how old is Matt Shaw? Matt Shaw is like, what, 23, 24? So that's like less than 5 years ago. Than 10 years ago.
That's funny. You're right. He did play it a little while ago. But again, it just goes to show you what the Cubs think of their outfield play and what he has done, that they went out and got a wily veteran that, you know, maybe could read the bat off the ball a little bit better. Then when you're looking at the front office, it's not necessarily like this changes the franchise type of move, but it's definitely we can't have the season die because Ian Happ went out in left field. We had to throw Matt Shaw in. Could you imagine that?
Why are you speaking this ill will to me right now? Why are you talking about Ian Happ getting hurt? I don't like this.
What do you mean? That's what Jed Hoyer would say to you.
I know. I don't like this type of.
I know, but Grant, if you ask Jed Hoyer, why'd you go out and get Mike Ford? He's like, well, you know what? Injuries happen throughout the year.
Yes.
Matt Shaw sucks in right field, so we got
to. You don't know that yet. Don't try
to. It's implied. If Matt Shaw was great in right field, they wouldn't go out and get the veteran outfielder. They'd be happy and content with what they had. But it's a great point, right? You do not want an injury to happen. You throw Matt Shaw out there, who, let's just say if he's serviceable, you throw him out there, and then like he misses a couple fly balls, and you're like, you didn't have any contingency plan in place for Matt. You thought Matt Shaw was going to be a great utility outfielder for you?
They want their everyday out there as Seiya, and Seiya is known for dropping a couple balls right field
So we saw. Ask Mune Munetaka what that looked like. But again, if you're just tuning in, Chicago Cubs saw Michael Conforto, according to John Heyman, adding utility depth and some veteran leadership in the outfield. You know, and when you're thinking about it, best case scenario, Conforto bounces back and you got yourself a depth piece, right? Gives you some level of production in the event of something happening, since I can't say what it is exactly. But does it make your lineup more dangerous? Yeah, I mean, if you're throwing another lefty in there, lefties can always be dangerous, right? But what's the realistic case? Like, what realistically could it be? He's a useful vet that gives you a couple of innings, maybe some late inning replacement, professional at-bats, can you know what a strike zone looks like. The worst case, he's another guy you brought in that doesn't work out and you get to move on because it's a low risk, high reward type of a move. So, again, curious your thoughts. Cubs get Michael Conforto. Haven't necessarily been doing the hottest as a kickoff for spring training, but curious your thoughts on the move as well. Still talking USA Hockey. Obviously, the gold medal taking down Canada 2-1. Waiting for your thoughts on that. And as always, can get your Bears thoughts in. Updated views on the Bears, stadium situation, where you think they should go. All that is up for grabs with the phone lines open. All right, 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you, taking your calls on the other side, right here on Chicago Sports Radio. 104.3 The Score.